Be unshakable. Is that your desire? Is that our desire? Be unshakable. As you go through life, and as you go through the stages, and I can think of as a young man, and you're growing up in your faith, you always hope and desire that as you meet each stage and you meet a new challenge every time, that you can be unshakable about decisions, about issues, about problems. And a lot of the times, the same situation, same issues come back, and they come back to you until you conquer them and you overcome them. And a lot of times, those situations can cause you to be fearful, can cause you to doubt, can cause you to shrink away. So this whole issue of be unshakable, isn't that something that you desire to be in your life? That you desire to be in your faith? That you're unshakable, that when you plant your feet and you take a stand, you stand. Well, you can be unshakable in life, not just in stressful times, but in playful times, in times that are times of challenge. I remember as I played basketball in senior high. Junior high, you start to develop skills, and by the time you get to senior high, you're always hoping that, you know what, one, you make the team, two, that you're in the starting lineup, and three, that you're good enough. Well, playing high school basketball, the most difficult shot to make, other than a three-point shot, when the crowd is going wild and it's down to 5 seconds, I never made a three-point shot because I wasn't a three-point shooter. But is a foul shot. Why is it the most difficult shot to make? Because everything stops and everybody's focused on you. Everybody's watching you as you line up at the foul line and you take that ball and you get your form and then you shoot. The crowd in the background is going nuts because they're trying to dissuade you, especially if you're playing in the opponent's arena. How many of you ever seen a college basketball game? College basketball on TV, when they focus in on the free throw shooter and they get it from the behind, guess what you see? You see all these people going nuts and crazy, and they're shaking all these things that they can because they want to make the shooter miss. The worst thing that you can do when you're a foul shooter is shoot an air ball. That means that you miss the net and you miss the rim totally. That is totally embarrassing. So as I developed my basketball skills, I concentrated a lot of the times on a foul shot. Because a foul shot, you can win the game with 1 point. A foul shot is most important because most games, they come down to the last seconds, and guess what they're looking to do? The other team is looking to foul your worst foul shooter. Because if they can do that, they can win the game. And you can disrupt the flow of the game, and you can turn over the ball. Now, I'd realize some of you are going, I don't know anything about basketball. Or, I love basketball. I'm a basketball coach. But in my last 2 years playing basketball, I got really good at foul shooting. And had my moments when I missed foul shots, but I was a 90% foul shooter. So a lot of times when it came down to the last seconds of the game, people weren't fouling me. But I was looking to foul them. I finished my basketball career with a 29.8 point per game average. I'm not bragging, but I'm just relaying. I ended up being chosen to the high school all-star team in my last year in grade 12. That's the kind of thing is when you're a basketball player, that's what you're desiring for other than a championship, is that you can become the best you can become. And the best basketball players in the world are unshakable in those times when the game is on the line. When the game is on the line, you want to be unshakable, don't you? That's why you practice, and you practice, and you practice. And so when the big Christmas family dinner comes over, you're ready when it's your turn. Or when you're driving, maybe you're driving the forklift and, you know, you're in work and that kind of thing, and you want to be able to do it with a forklift just so you can pick up that stuff and take it off and put it down when the higher-ups are watching. Or that when it comes to public speaking, you can present clearly what your message is and not be nervous, not be worried. You're able to look at people when you're talking and you don't forget your content. One of the biggest fears in life is what? Public speaking. But you hone your skills and you develop those skills so that at that point you can be unshakable. What do you and I want to be unshakable about? What do you and I want to be unshakable in? Well, we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about Isaiah. We've been spending Christmas with Isaiah. Isaiah is talking about being unshakable in your faith. Unshakable in your faith. The situation is this that we find ourselves in. We're going to be in Isaiah 8 this morning. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. But the situation that we find ourselves in is we had talked about Ahaz, and he's ruling Israel, and he has Syria and Ephraim bearing down on him, wanting him to join their alliance against Assyria, who is threatening, who's going to come in and overpower these countries. Ahaz isn't able to stand. He doesn't stand with God. He doesn't stand with these two powers either. Secretly, King Ahaz makes a pact, an alliance with the king of Assyria, basically saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But lo and behold, King Ahaz discovers that at some point, that enemy of your enemy, who is supposedly your friend, returns back to being your enemy. And that's what he's feeling threatened about. So Ahaz makes a decision to submit to the overlordship of the king of Assyria. That way he can bring peace and cessation of hostility to Judah. So he makes this alliance to take care of Syria and Israel. What happens? Simply, the glory departs Judah. God's hand of favor, God's grace departs Judah. See, that's what happens when we become shakable in our faith. God's grace, God's glory, God's favor becomes shakable. We tend to drift to the world's way of doing things. We become like Ahaz. Personal faith and spiritual conviction in God and his goodwill are nothing but a slow ebbing trickle to Ahaz. The way of faith, Shiloah, has been seen as too precarious, too hazardous, too slow, unfaithful. The way of the world, the Euphrates, the river with all its earthly kings and chariots and politics and speed, that is the way to go. Do you go with a slow, trickling stream, or do you go with a raging river? Well, I don't know much about marine or boats or that kind of stuff. I know James does. What would you rather travel on? A stream, low trickling stream, or a river moving fast? Right? Well, God is speaking to Isaiah, is speaking to the people and saying, you need to choose the way of Shiloh. But instead, you want to choose the way of the Euphrates. He says, you need to move as God moves, only when he says so. But no, we want to go the way of the Euphrates. So God says, well, you know what? You want that, and so I'm going to bring that. And the way of Shiloh is going to turn into a raging river. And it's going to crash over the land. It's going to submerge the land of Ephraim and of Syria. And it's going to crash and submerge Judah. And that raging river is going to be the king of Assyria. Are we content with Shiloh, with that river, with God's pace? And sometimes we're given the connotation that God's pace is slow. Sometimes God's pace is fast. Sometimes it is dangerous. Sometimes it's not. You ask my wife, we got married how fast? Was it like 9 months? She was like, this is the Euphrates. I'm like, I like you. After our first date, it was at the Grey Cup game in Calgary, at our friend's house. We weren't actually at the game. She was leaving, and I said, hey, you want to go for coffee? We went for coffee. We spent 3 hours talking at the coffee shop, and by that time, we already knew that there was a good possibility we were going to get married. Then we went home and talked some more on the phone for another 4 hours. Same day. It wasn't your friend, Joy? Lynette was having a conversation with her one day. I don't know exactly about what. Lynette shared this to me. She said, Joy said to her, hang on, girl, you're going for a ride. I know for her, she would have loved to have taken the slow river. But for me, it was like, man, we got to get married and go. The king of Assyria will be our Shiloh. He will save the city, be our water supply for the country, and save us from the northern affliction, King Ahaz is saying. He will be your Shiloh, Jerusalem. He will be a raging Shiloh that will overflow your water system and drown you as he drowns Ephraim and Syria. The glory will depart. The foreigner will fill your entire land, Emmanuel. Isaiah 8:8. Who's Emmanuel? Jesus, God with us. This is the land that Jesus is going to come into. This is his kingdom. When he comes for his throne, to his throne, it's going to be a meaningless kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom of poverty. This is what he's going to inherit. That's where we get Isaiah's second son comes on the scene. Meir Shalal Hashbaz. Don't name your son that, please. It means quick to plunder, swift to spoil. But he has another son, Sher Jashub. A remnant will return. One is a flood, and one is faith. Which one will you choose, Israel? Which one will you choose, Judah? Both are the living incarnate word of the Lord born through the prophetess. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a person may plan his path, but Adonai directs his steps. Part of being unshakable in our context, in our world, is to have a plan. Right? How many of us have entered retirement? How many of us are planning retirement? I remember so long ago the advertisements for Freedom 55. Today I think it's like Freedom 75. But in our world today, where we find ourselves with the economy being shut down and people losing their jobs and people cashing in their RSPs just to survive, it's our plan. That's what's going to save us. That's the way of the world. God says, I'm your plan. I'm the one that saves you. I'm the one you look for salvation. I'm the one you look for protection. I'm the one you look for provision. He says to Ahaz, he says, devise a plan, it will fail. Make a prediction, it will not happen unless the Lord God has planned it for you. A person may plan his path, but Adonai directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. The thing is God is with us. So live as if he is. That's Isaiah's words to Ahaz. To all of Judah, God is with you, so live as if he is. That's his words to us today. In the time that we live in, as hard as it is, God is still with us. So live as he is. Fear God, not conspiring powers. We have a lot of principalities and powers today that are planning things for you and I. They're planning things for the general population. I think most of them that I see are not good. We don't know what the future holds. But with God, we do know that we have a future, and it's with him. Isaiah says, don't fear these two firebrands. Don't fear what these leaders or different people can do. But instead, fear God. Fear him only. For this is what the Lord said to me with great power to keep me from going the way of this people. This is to Isaiah. Do not call everything an alliance. Or do not call everything a conspiracy. These people say it is an alliance. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be terrified. You are to regard only the Lord of hosts as holy. Only he should be feared. Only he should be held in awe. Sometimes that's hard to remember today. Because we get hit every day. It seems morning, noon, and night by updates of this is how terrible today is. This is how terrible things have gotten today. How do you combat that when you hear how terrible it is all the time? I got one solution. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Dive into this. Because this is good news. Isaiah, believe it or not, is good news. Because he's saying, you go this way of the world, it's going to be bad stuff. You go this way of God, it's going to be good stuff. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be terrified. Some of us have been affected by this COVID. We know some people that have been affected by COVID. But of the nearly 4.5 million people in Alberta, it's less than 0.5%. Less than 0.5% that have been affected. 17,474, I believe, was the last count of active cases. The number of people that actually passed from COVID is actually less than 0.5%. But that's not what the media is telling you. The media only tells you the negative stuff. It was the news article this week that said Alberta has hit a new benchmark. They broke, what was it? 90 cases in one day, I think it was. I forget exactly how it was put, but it was front page news. It was carried by the National Post. It was carried by the Calgary Herald. It was all over the place. So that made me break it down and go, okay, what is actually the population in Alberta? What is the actual number of cases? What is the number of deaths? And what does that work out to be? God says what? Do not fear them or be terrified. Regard only the Lord of hosts as holy and fear him. Because he holds our life in his hand. Not the media. Not the doctors. Not the health care. Not the prime minister. Not the world leaders. God does. It says, for he will conceal me in his shelter on the day of trouble. He will hide me in the folds of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be lifted up above my surrounding foes, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord, to Adonai. Can we do that today? Are you doing that today? Can you sing praise to the Lord in the day of trouble? He says, I hide you in my folds, in my tent, in my dwelling. Set me on high. And he says, I will lift your head above your troubles, above your foes. I will conceal you in my shelter. Amen? Amen. Do not be paralyzed by fear concerning these things. Adonai is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I find shelter, my shield, the power that saves me, my stronghold. I call on Adonai who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalm 18. Who's writing this? Did David have troubles? He had troubles. He had troubles with a king. They wanted to kill him just because David was nice. David was popular. David killed his hundreds of thousands than what Saul did. We have this wonderful image of God. You who live in the shelter of Elyon, who spend your nights in the shadow of El Shaddai, who say to Adonai, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the trap of the hunter and from the plague of calamities. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is a shield and a protection. You will not fear the terrors of night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the plague that roams in the dark, or the scourge that wreaks havoc at noon. Is he our salvation? Treat God as holy. Isaiah says, treat God as holy. He will be a sanctuary, but for the two houses of Israel. He will be a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many will stumble over these. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Why would Syria and Ephraim or Israel trip over the Messiah? Because they don't believe. They don't believe, they don't trust. Those of us who don't believe and who trust, don't trust. We have those days, we have those moments, we have those days, those hours, those years. Be reminded that God is a sanctuary. When we forget he is the sanctuary, when we forget he is the light, he is God with us, he is Jesus, then we stumble and we fall. But because Jesus has been there before, he knows what we feel, he knows what we experience, and because he experienced the same exact thing, and he picks us up. For who will hurt you if you become zealots for what is good? But even if you do suffer for being righteous, you are blessed. Moreover, don't fear what they fear or be disturbed, but treat the Messiah as holy, as Lord in your hearts. Is he Lord in our hearts? Is he righteous? Do we fear him? If we do, he says, you are blessed. We have this wonderful image of God set apart and high as holy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. And the foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. What's that a picture of? Can you imagine it? Can you put it in your mind? This is what it means to set God as high and holy and set apart. This is who our God is. This is the image that Isaiah sees and conveys it. Uzziah was dying, and he saw this. What an encouragement to Isaiah. What an encouragement to Uzziah. Is an encouragement to us today? Do we perceive God as high and exalted? Or do we ignore his words? December 21st is how many days away? How many? 14? Anything significant about December 21st? It's the day after my daughter's birthday. But December 21st, there's a great thing happening in the skies. It's called the Great Conjunction. And it only happens every 20 years. But the great conjunction is when Jupiter and Saturn come together. And this time is only the third time in history that they are going to come so close together that they're separated by 1 degree. 1 degree. One of the times was 1623. I looked into my computer on the internet, tried to find out what was significant about 1623. Not much. But the first time that this happened, recorded-wise, was in 7 BC. When was that? When Jesus was born. You don't hear about this on the news. MSM is not carrying it. But if you go onto the internet and you type in Christmas Star 2020, it's everywhere. Folks, there's a sign in the sky of our Christmas hope, of a reminder that Jesus was born, and that Jesus is coming back, and that we have hope everlasting. It's a chance to tell people the story and the love of Jesus. December 21st at sunset, it's going to be low on the horizon. So like all of us, we live in the city, except for a few of you live out on the farm like James and Emily. Go outside the city and watch. They say it's going to be seen worldwide. It's going to be a light like no other, because those two planets are going to look like one star, one bright star. December 16th, if you look and you look at the moon, you will be able to start to see the two planets as they come together. Is that not exciting? That's exciting. Why is this so significant? It reminds us that Christ was being born under this original Christmas star. It reminds us of Jesus' second coming. We can point others to Jesus by telling the account of his birth and why he was born so many thousands of years ago, and that God has not forgotten his people. Do you believe this? Luke 21, 25 to 28 says this: there will appear signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on earth. Nations will be in anxiety and bewilderment at the sound and the surge of the sea, as people faint with fear at the prospect of what is overtaking the world. What is overtaking the world? Anxiety. Worry. Economic troubles. It's a surge of the sea coming into the land. It's Shiloah, because we've chased after a foreign god and put our hope in somebody that is not true. And it's not too late to turn and point to that star. There's Jesus. And then they will see a Son of Man coming in a cloud with tremendous power and glory. When these things start to happen, stand up and hold your heads high, because you're about to be liberated. Do you believe these words? Now, I'm not date setting. I'm not doing any of that. But our Lord Jesus told us to look to the sky for signs. And we're watching the sky. If this is the time, awesome, great. If this isn't the time, awesome, great. but I still believe and look to the Lord my Savior. That, my people, is called faith. That is what we celebrate this Advent, the second season of Advent, the second candle, the second Sunday is faith. Do we believe this? For if God has in fact willed that you should suffer, it is better that you suffer for doing what is good than for doing what is evil. Times get dark, don't get dark. Remain light. So that people will see who you are and your actions and what you say and you bring glory to God. And they might just say, what makes you who you are? And this Christmas, we can point and go, see that star? Let me tell you a story about my Savior, my Lord, who He is. God is giving us a sign. Be unshakable in our faith. Mary and Joseph, quickly, the unshakable couple. Question is, how is it that Mary and Joseph could carry out the pregnancy of Christ? Think about that. Not just the announcement and the interaction, Mary, you're going to bear a child and he's going to be Emmanuel. And she says, how can this be? I have not been intimate with a man. And Joseph's going, I think she has been intimate with a man. And he wants to divorce her. He wants to put her aside quietly with respect. Because this is just not possible. It's been 400 years of silence, and there's been time before that to the time of Isaiah when this prophecy was given. How is it possible that Mary and Joseph could carry out that pregnancy of Christ? How old was Mary when she got pregnant? More than likely 14. And gave birth when she was 15 or 16. That's what the experts claim. And you're going, that's young. Yeah, that is young. But that was kind of expected back then. Because life expectancy was 45 to 50 years old. Wasn't very old. But can you think about what Mary and Joseph would face? Joseph especially, because he believes Mary, he believes the angel. What's at stake for us going forward? And then she gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And guess what? Their faith grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And their trust. So that when it finally comes to that evening, when they find no room in the inn, but there's a place in the stable with all the animals, the smelly animals. Okay. This is it. The Messiah is going to be born. And what do they see? A star. I wonder how long the star has been in the air, in the sky. Because we want to believe that it just appeared then, but if we read the story about the wise men have been traveling for a long time. Following what? A star in the sky that is unusual. Because they studied the stars, and it was a sign. How is it that Mary and Joseph could be so unshakable to believe God? Well, we go, well, her stomach was growing. But the discussion with the angel was that Mary said what? I am the Lord's slave, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. Wasn't after she was pregnant and that she saw the signs, it was before it ever happened. That's faith. That's part of waiting. So I imagine Mary's thinking, okay, she has this encounter, and then it's like, okay, so am I pregnant right now? Or when's that going to happen? Am I going to feel something? And then she starts getting morning sickness. And then she knows, oh. Can you imagine? 9 months of anticipation. 9 months. Those who believe are blessed. Indeed, you are blessed because you have trusted that the promise Adonai has made to you will be fulfilled. Peace on earth to the people whom God favors. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. God's peace rests on those who believe in him. His favor rests on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sign. I'm going to take it as that. I'm going to believe that this phenomenon, even though it happens every 20 years, but at that time, Saturn and Jupiter are so far apart that you don't see it, but this is the only third time that we've seen this. I'm going to believe this is your sign, that you have not abandoned us, you are with us, that Jesus lives, that Jesus is coming again, that you are our everlasting hope. And I choose to believe and trust in you through all of this. No matter what man may try to do, we will follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.